Welcome to the Grim Leftovers Show with Grimnir every Monday night at 7 p.m. Eastern on RealLibertyMedia.com and RALMRadio.xyz. Yeah, baby, it's Monday evening once again. This is Grimnir, and you're listening to the Grim Leftovers program. This is episode 70 of the Grim Leftovers Show right here on this May 4, 2020. I got some stuff lined up here for you. Hopefully it's good. Hopefully it's interesting to y'all. Anyway, how you doing out there, everybody? Listening in from all the various places you may be listening in from. Whether it's right here on RealLibertyMedia.com, over there on RLMRadio.xyz, FreedomsNetwork.com, RealLiberty.org, tune in, wherever. I'm pointing at stuff that you can't see me doing. Yeah, I do these hand motions, you know. You don't get to see them because you're listening on the radio. Oh, yes, on the Voscast directly itself. Also, thank you for that, Rob. I'm sitting here talking, waving my hands around in the air like a madman. Oh boy, anybody else do that? Is that just me? Anyway, hi and howdy to all the folks over here I see in the chat. We got a good group of folks here. We always got nice folks over here in the chat. And, so hi and howdy to them. I see the Beetle. I see myself and the Moose Girl. Barman, I didn't forget you. I just didn't mention you. Miss Kate, how you doing? Anti-Asmo Circle. Miss Dam Van Mita. Donna! Frumpy and Java Doctor. Meester Meister. Mooster Brow. Prince. Hey, Prince! Hey, buddy, I got your show up finally. It took me a while. There was a problem with BitChute this morning. It wasn't letting people post videos up there. And I'd make sure it wasn't myself. I went on the Twitter and I looked around, and there was a bunch of people having a problem. Couldn't post up their videos on the Twitter. But eventually it let me do it, so they had some kind of tech issue going on. It's not something I haven't seen before over there, but... Still, it's frustrating when it happens. We've got Rob Works in the Mighty Bubbler. We got Rome's Trust No One. Oofta! Vanna and Weather Dork. Anti as W4DKV. Coming at you across the ham radio. We got Phantom and CC66. Joker, Miss Chloe. How you doing, Chloe? Cyborg Noodle. We got Dad. Hey, Dad. You're not my dad. I'm pretty sure of that. E-Man and End of Civ Grummet. JJ's. Kiss Matt. Matty. Hey, Matt. The Ponsasi Quasimodo. The Sock Puppet. Howdy Sock down there in southern Florida. Smartass, the holiest of Rogers and Zippix. The co-host of Prince on Saturday evening's Power Hour. Anything I got? Oh yeah, over there on the, both, because it ties into both places, but on RealLibertyMedia.com and also on FreedomsNetwork.com, the thing that you click when you pop up the radio there, if there's a pop-up or click the Listen Now button, it has the direct auto-start player on the pop-up now. I don't do that on the main RealLibertyMedia.com page because... Well, I just, you know, it's just better that way. The player's there and people can click it to start it, but if they click the Listen Now button, it'll automatically start for them, or the pop-up player. So, yeah, a little change I made there this morning or yesterday. I forget when. Anyway, whatever. Let's go. I got stories. Hopefully you're all doing well out there in your imprisoned in your homes. In your lockup. Yes, it's lockup. They like to call it lockdown, but yeah, it's lockup, you know. So, lockup, that's what they do in jails and prisons. Yeah. I agree, Rob. It's rude to have music. Well, even if it's not music, it's audio, yeah. You know, shows playing automatically. So, but if you go to a website like rlmradio.xyz, I think you expect to have the audio start automatically. So that's why I have it over there. Okay. Well, let's kick it off here. First thing, it's not an article, and I don't really have too much to tell you about it. I've been listening to it throughout the day on and off. And I've so far listened to an hour and a half worth of this 2 hour and 45 minute interview. It's David Icke's explosive interview with London Real, the video that YouTube does not want you to see. It's been very interesting so far. Now, I know there's a lot of people out there that go, oh, Icke, he's that crazy guy talking about Queen Elizabeth being a lizard person, which, you know, just look at her. Is she? I mean, come on. That whole royal family. Yeah, there's something weird about them. And you could throw a few others in there, in that reptilian crowd. You know, your Kissingers, your Soros, your Rockefellers. There's folks like that. There's something weird. Cheney. Put Cheney in there, too. All right. So anyway, I was listening to this video, and about an hour and 15 minutes in, I think it was, and he started tying in the 5G with the corona, and how the reason for the corona is to cover up what 5G is doing. Anyway, there's all kinds of interesting stuff, tons and tons of interesting stuff in this David Icke interview. Now, I embedded this into the day's blog post. It'll be there when I post up the blog post later on, if you decide to watch it that way, or just head on over to the link will also be there. So yeah, just check it out. I mean, like I said, sitting and listening to a two hour and 45 minute interview all at one time, it might be a little exhaustive, but that's okay. You can pause it and come back at a later time throughout the day. And it's posted up there now. It's on BitChute. YouTube, they definitely do not want that there on YouTube in any way. So check him out. It's been a very interesting interview. The first hour and a half, like I said, that I've listened to so far. He's got like a million views. He's got like a million views on BitChute. I don't know if that's normal for BitChute. I don't really look around on BitChute. I just post videos up there and hope other people watch mine. But the RLM videos don't get anywhere near a million views. We're lucky to get 500 views. So yeah. Anyway, so there's a bunch of other stuff in there, and he talks about all kinds of interesting things. Oh, cool. Kate was listening to it on her phone as she was walking her boys. To me, it's worth your time to go ahead and take a listen to that. All right. Now, what do we have here? Oh, yes, this. Posted on thehardtimes.net. On when? When was the date here? March 28th. 78% of American corporations living stimulus to stimulus. American corporations living on stimulus as they anxiously await their next stimulus. The United States Department of Commerce issued a concerning report this morning, back in March, finding that 78% of corporations are barely scraping by and living stimulus to stimulus. Sources laying naked atop a tiger pelt confirmed. It's dire. Right. Just take this for what it's worth. It's dire straits for hard-working legal entities in America, with many businesses struggling to dole out even a cool million in fund money to execs like me, commented Royal Caribbean CEO Richard Fain, while holding back the tears as he opened a safe hidden behind a painting that was only half full of gold and ivory. Corporations have already done everything we can to cut our operating expenses. We slashed health benefits, reinvested our employees' 401k into stock buyback plans for our board members, and it's still not enough. Hell, American Airlines euthanized half their flight crew. But Uncle Sam just pulls his purse strings tighter, sliding us merely single-digit billions. Single-digit billions? Those poor guys. The proof the federal government doesn't give two shits about struggling LTDs. We have sharks and huge tanks to buy, dammit! Representative Michael McCaul held a press conference to address legislation he introduced to help executives affected by the economic downturn. Oh, it's a crying shame that we're failing the corporations of this country by wasting millions on paid sick leave that people would just abuse by smoking Schedule I marijuana and shirking their economic responsibilities. Corporations are people too. And since Coca-Cola can't take a day off, neither should anyone else, said McCaul, pulling out a binder containing his stimulus bill. What I'm proposing is a modest $10 billion for each corporation whose founder doesn't yet own an island, and a $40 billion slush fund for cabal meetings on the island they'll purchase to stimulate the economy. Patrick Crane is one of the many jobless after Marriott International's recent wave of layoffs was enraged by the bill. Are you fucking kidding me, said Crane, covered in rashes. I am literally considering sucking dick for money, and at this point, someone to talk to, I've been hiding in my studio apartment from the plague, and Congress tells me to get in line behind Exxon? Fuck me! At press time, 22% of American corporations that remain relatively unaffected by the global coronavirus pandemic issued a statement to the IRS in the form of a bomb threat that they will continue not to pay taxes. Well, do I have to tell anybody? Do I have to tell anybody? That's satire. However, it's satire with a massive amount of truth built into it. So, that's basically how it's going. If you've watched how it's worked with these stimulus or whatever you want to call them, payments coming out of the government, the banks got their money overnight. Over freaking night. Instantly paid. The large corporations took huge bailouts. And the little guy, they got nothing. They got nothing. You got Jack. Some of you got $1,200. Yeah? Yeah, some of you got $1,200. Woo-hoo! That'll last a day or three. Anyway, if you're looking for another good satire site, thehardtimes.net. So, oh, God. All right. This next one, as much as it might sound like satire, is not. This is posted on blacklistednews.com back on March 29. United States military command teams in charge of protecting Homeland Security are being isolated in the infamous Cheyenne Mountain bunker, where they will remain sealed off until the coronavirus pandemic passes. Are you serious? You know, that's where they keep the Stargate Cheyenne Mountain Complex. Way down, way, way down, deep in the earth there. Part of the United States Army's Northern Command, NORCOM, in charge of Homeland Security, is isolating at the Cheyenne Mountain Bunker in Colorado as the coronavirus spreads across the country. The bunker is a command and control site which was built inside of the mountain of the same name, located near Colorado Springs. Yeah, apparently they are still hiding in that mountain. To ensure that we can defend the homeland despite this pandemic, our command and control teams, watch teams here in the headquarters, split into multiple shifts, and portions of our watch team began from working from Cheyenne Mountain Air Force Station. created a third team in an alternate location as well. Air Force General Terence O'Shaughnessy. Irish, would you say? Terence O'Shaughnessy? Head of U.S. Northern Command in NORAD, said during a Facebook Live town hall with those under his command, our dedicated professionals of NORAD and NORTHCOM Command and Control Watch have left their homes, said goodbye to their families, and are isolated from everyone to ensure that they can stand the watch each and every day to defend our homeland. Oh, so patriotic. Hey, Dan, how you doing? Dan Teddy C just joined us here. Howdy, Dan. All right, so there's more to that article. It links through to the original article over in the Daily Mail, but that was the real meat of the story there. And look at the length of that title. All right. I would correct these guys, but it's their story. And for me to take from them the idea that this is a military state and use their term as it being a police state, which, I mean, the police are basically part of the police are the military as well. They are the military being used against you locally, but they are still military. Just look at the way they act, the way they treat you, the way they call you a civilian. The police are military, so da-da-da. Okay. March 22nd. Rockefeller blueprint for police state triggered by pandemic exposed. Police state triggered by pandemic. Currently, the world is in the midst of a global health pandemic, or so we are told. We have been covering all of the events which have preceded the corona outbreak that suggests we are not being told the entire story. You think? The list includes Event 201, the corona pandemic simulation, which preceded the first reports of outbreak by 6 weeks. The World Military Games held its opening ceremonies in Wuhan, China, a.k.a. Ground Zero of the outbreak, on the same day as Event 201. Nearly 10,000 military athletes, really, from 110 nations were all in Wuhan just before the outbreak. We also look at how the CDC shut down Fort Detrick, the epicenter of the United States biowarfare program, just before the outbreak, due to violations concerning leaks and contamination. Yeah, what kind of leaks? Plus multiple connections to other existing programs related to the United Nations, Bill Gates, and many others. Not to mention our extensive coverage exposing the plan to roll out a new digital financial system out of the ashes of this global emergency, which will likely be considered the biggest economic collapse in human history. You got no choice but to consider it that, because that's what it is. In this exclusive interview, Spiro is joined by journalist Helen Bionski to break down and discuss the Rockefeller Foundation sanctioned report, which appears to be the script for not only Event 201, but everything we are seeing unfold right now concerning the outbreak itself and the militarized police state response. Now, there is a video posted in here with that particular interview. Hey, Christine, Java Doctor. Who else jumped in while I was reading? Y'all, welcome to the show. Welcome to the chat. Glad to have you here with us. So, yeah, if you think that there's anything on the up and up about this plandemic, scamdemic, hoaxdemic, you're confused because this stuff has been planned out for a long time. And they were working on that virus, if it even exists, for a long time. And they've been rolling out 5G at the same time they're rolling out this thing that in order to lock everybody down all around the world. If you think this is just coincidental, I don't know what to say to you at that point. I really don't. But let's say you do think that possibly, it's possible, I got the virus, I'm going to die. Here's my advice. Smoke a doobie. Hit that bong. Crank out the old one-hitter pipe, whatever you want to do, because on the naturalblaze.com here, posted March 24th, a new study says cannabis helps fight resistant bacteria. Yes, indeed. Since the discovery of penicillin in 1928, by Sir Alexander Fleming, antibiotics have saved millions of lives from fatal infections worldwide. However, with time, bacteria have developed mechanisms to escape the effects of antibiotics. They have become resistant. With fewer antibiotics available to treat resistant bacterial infections, the possibility of entering a pre-antibiotic era is looming ahead. Alternative strategies are being explored, and helper compounds are attracting attention. Helper compounds are non-antibiotic compounds with the capability of enhancing the efficacy of antibiotics. So how do you boost antibiotics? One such helper compound has been suspected to be CBD. A cannabinoid from the cannabis plant. Now a research team from the University of South Denmark, this was probably Flash and Cirque down there studying the weed, has published a scientific study proving the effect of CBD. Jean Kittegaard, the principal investigator and corresponding author, first author, is PhD student Claes Sondergaard Weishaupt. You got these Danish names, I can't pronounce them. The study is published by the journal Scientific Reports. When we combined CBD and antibiotics, we saw a more powerful effect than when treating with antibiotics alone. So in order to kill a certain number of bacteria, we needed less antibiotics, they say. Bacteria clones spread globally. In the study, CBD was used to enhance the effect of the antibiotic bacteriocin. whatever that word is, against Staphylococcus aureus bacteria, a major human pathogen that frequently causes community and hospital-acquired disease. Multi-drug-resistant clones of this pathogen have spread globally. In some countries, treatment of bacterial infections with these resistant bacteria are difficult, and the problem is projected to be an ever larger problem in the future. According to the researchers, the combination of CBD and antibiotics may be a novel treatment of infections with antibiotic-resistant bacteria. Hooray! All right, there's a little more to the story, and you can check it out if you want, but basically, it comes down to this. If you combine the CBD, and it doesn't have to be the CBD that gets you high. It can be the other CBD if you're into that. Rob Works has a special blend of the CBD that he can share with you at a reasonable price. So just come on into the chat and say, hey, Rob, I want some of that CBD. Give me that CBD. And there it is. Silly. Just type in whatever that mark is in Silly, and he'll tell you how to get to his stuff. So go get yourself some of that And you probably won't even need the antibiotics, because the CBD will do the job on its own. All right. Now, I don't know if this includes anybody here. Well, maybe we have an occasional visitor this would fit. I don't know, but it says we all. We are all. Let's see. It's posted on UNZ.com, the UNZ Review, on March 29th. We are all totalitarians now. Coronavirus brings back the spirit of the police. The coronavirus epidemic has been highly instructive. In the face of looming early death for millions of citizens, Western states have entered a genuine crisis. Maybe not so genuine. In which the Schmidian sovereign, who was always there lying in waiting, has reemerged into the open and taken all the measures deemed necessary. Liberty and law be damned. The nations making up the European Union are highly illustrative in this respect. For starters, there was no unified European response, each nation having its own police and media consciousness. Each one adopted their measures in a haphazard and uncoordinated manner, although all tended towards a gradual escalation. Jean Quartermer, Liberation's Euro-Federalist correspondent in Brussels, lamented, "Up to now, it has been every man for himself. Italy is the epicenter of the European epidemic, was abandoned. Germany and France even went so far as to forbid the export of medical equipment with no regard for solidarity. Admittedly, that was 2 weeks ago, and since then, the Europeans have made some progress in getting their act together. The European Central Bank is perhaps EU's only truly federal and sovereign entity. In some respects, more powerful than the United States Federal Reserve, because there is no pan-European political counterpart to counterbalance it. A few days after making their faux pas of declaring that the bank's job did not involve policing interest rate spreads, ECB President Christine Lagarde reversed her position and declared her institution would lend 750 billion euro to stabilize the European economy. 750 billion euro. That's cute. How's that working out for you? I'm always left in awe of this spectacle. While European officials and lobbyists are locked in a perpetual struggle of the niggardly Couchandel in Brussels over the pork-laden EU budget, Lagarde can summon up five times the annual budget with a snap of her fingers. Corona really does work miracles. Things that were declared impossible are now the norm. The parks of Western European cities are finally being cleared of migrants, now that these have been declared a sanitary hazard. Being a criminal one was apparently not enough. The European Parliament meetings in Strasbourg, a traveling circus which costs taxpayers 100 million euro per year, have been suspended. The EU's balanced budget rulebook, which the Germans fought so hard to impose over the last decades, has been thrown out the window. Each state is to borrow as it pleases to bail out businesses and provide welfare, at least for the duration of the national lockdowns. Individual liberty? Too bad, so sad. You ain't getting none of it. In Italy, the number of cases and dead continues to steadily rise. As of the 27th of March, over 9,000 people had died, including almost 1,000 just in one day. Overwhelmed medical professionals have been forced to institute a grim practice of triage, choosing to concentrate on those individuals who have the best chance of survival and leaving many of the us old folks to die. Mankind only learns the hard way, one funeral at a time. A month ago, the mayor of Florence urged his fellow citizens to hug a Chinese. Go out and hug a Chinese, said the mayor of Florence, in order to fight racism and xenophobia. Now Italian mayors are verbally abusing their residents to stay indoors in classic nationalist style. European states have adopted genuinely totalitarian levels of social control, affecting all citizens daily. In France, you cannot go into the street without a written declaration of your particular reason for being outside. Our countries have adopted a basically Mussolinian notion of the collection liberty, as the Duce himself argued in his Doctrine of Fascism, which is basically this. Fascism is opposed to classical liberalism, which arose as a reaction to the absolutism and exhausted its historical function when the state became an expression of conscience and the will of the people. The state became the expression of the consciousness and will of the people. And if liberty is to be the attribute of living men and not the abstract dummies invented by individualistic liberalism, then fascism stands for liberty, and for the only liberty worth having, the liberty of the state and of the individual within the state. Now, some of you out there, depending on what you know, may be confused by him calling out classical liberalism. This show's not repeating, as far as I know. Shouldn't be repeating. Unless you got two players open in two different places. I'm not sure. Anyway, classical liberalism, though. Classical liberalism used to be basically a libertarian viewpoint, which liberalism was taken over by the crazy leftists, and some try to attribute classical liberalism to what's considered conservatism today, but it's nothing of the sort. Conservatism is further away than the loony left. So that's what Mussolini was talking about back there. All right. All right. In truth, Western Europeans have by and large embraced the new measures. Huge majorities, over 85%, support national lockdowns in Spain, Italy, France, and Britain. 85% support being imprisoned in their homes for no reason whatsoever. With a typical rally around the flag effect, leading politicians have also regained popularity. French President Macron now has a 44% approval rating, a figure not seen since July 2017, while confidence in Italian Prime Minister Giuseppe has jumped by over 10 points since the start of the crisis. You get the point, don't you? People seeing their leaders, quote-unquote leaders, do horrible things to them, are embracing it, are loving it, are bowing down before them. And I'd like to say, well, this was a month ago. You can't really apply that to now. But you absolutely can. All over the U.S., they are doing various surveys. And whether we can trust any of those surveys or not is highly questionable to me. But they're saying 80% here, 90% over there, people supporting, people calling up, oh, I saw somebody not social distancing. This was his a photo of him out on the street corner. Go get him and throw him in jail for exercising any amount of liberty. Man, oh, man. You know who else they want to jail for exercising some free right, which used to be called free speech? Excuse me. One second. All right. A little corona cough there. All right. all right. On February 4th, 2020, I think this law is actually older than this, or this proposal was actually older than this, but this is talking about it. It says a new one. So anyway, here it is. Activistpost.com. New proposed law to jail anti-vaxxers. Anti-vaxxers? And the CDC fear-based talking points to media revealed new law to jail you if you talk about vaccines being bad. A controversial group currently in the crosshairs of the establishment, which was also discussed at Event 201, is known as the anti-vaccine movement. And now we see the UK government working on a new law to jail people who spread anti-vaccine propaganda. Well, what about the pro-vaccine propaganda? Because not getting the vaccine ain't going to kill you, but getting the vaccine may well. Currently, people are protected from prosecution if they sincerely believe the misinformation or propaganda is real. Well, the misinformation is the pro-vaccine people. Don't get confused here. But the government is looking to reform this provision and make it a criminal offense to post anything online, particularly social media, which is deemed to be anti-vaccine. Where does the CDC stand on this issue? Well, when we examine a CDC document published at the National Academy's website, we see what they call a recipe for fostering public interest and high vaccine demand. The CDC document appears to contain outright talking points and a strategy to be carried out and propagated to the public via health officials and the media. The guy who wrote this article, who is Spiros Skouras, says he is not an anti-vaxxer, but when he sees a massive, profit-driven global operation which wields vast power and influence over governments who want to make vaccines mandatory and jail anyone who dares to ask questions, which is then propagandized by the media and sold to you, the public, through fear and intimidation, even he must resist. Now, he is not an anti-vaxxer. I am... How do I say this? Okay, vaccines, in concept, are very good, or could be very good. But then they take these vaccines, good, pure vaccines, that could be used to prevent you from getting a particular pathogen. And they poison it. They poison the hell out of it. And then they give it all kinds of other ones that you're not even interested in, that you don't need, and double, triple, quadruple the poisons that they're pumping into your veins. Now, if they just want to stop whatever it is, whether it's a flu or a measles or whatever, they can make that a pure vaccine. But they won't do it, because they have an agenda behind this. And also, they produce these vaccines, and they know they won't last very long. So they put all this crap into them to preserve them. But those preservatives being pumped into your veins cause you serious problems. May cause you serious problems. They don't cause everybody serious problems, obviously, but they cause enough people serious problems that it's not worth taking the risk to get that crap put into you. With the new vaccines they want to release for this corona nonsense, there's other bad stuff in there. Very bad stuff. One of them being tracking chips. Yes, they've gotten to the point now where they can inject a tracking chip directly into your bloodstream. They're that small now. You don't want this. And if they didn't put it directly in the vaccine, which they will, that even if it's in there, they still want to put some kind of a tracking device on you that they could just scan your skin with. And that would probably be like on your forehead or the back of your hand. You may have read a story about that somewhere where certain people want to do that. Yeah. Anyway, so I'm telling you, do not accept these new vaccines if and when they come out. And if they make it mandatory, it's going to be difficult for all of us that refuse the vaccine. Yeah, because you won't be able to buy or sell or work or travel. Or you may have read about that, too. I think that was in that story as well. All right. Enough of that. Okay. Astrophysicists. They're generally very smart people, right? Highly intelligent. To be an astrophysicist, you need to have some brains in your head. You need to be able to think and reason and logic. You got to be a pretty sharp fella in order to do so. Or gal. Don't. I know there's some sharp astrophysicist gals out there. I support you as well. All right, here it is. Slashdot.com. When was this? April 1st. And you'd say, April 1st? That's a joke. Not so much. All right, it was originally posted on The Guardian, but they Slashdot takes these and they post them over here. Astrophysicist gets magnets stuck up nose while inventing a coronavirus device. An Australian astrophysicist has been admitted to the hospital after getting 4 magnets stuck up his nose in an attempt to invent a device that stops people from touching their faces during the coronavirus outbreak. Dr. Daniel Reardon, a research fellow at Melbourne University, was building a necklace that sounds an alarm on facial contact when the mishap occurred on Thursday night. The 27-year-old astrophysicist who studies pulsars and gravitational waves said he was trying to liven up the boredom of self-isolation with 4 powerful neodymium magnets. Reardon said he placed 2 magnets inside his nostrils and 2 on the outside. When he removed the magnets from the outside of his nose, the 2 insides stuck together. Unfortunately, the researcher then attempted to use the remaining magnets to remove them. As I was pulling downward and trying to remove the magnets, they clipped onto each other, and I lost my grip, and those 2 magnets ended up in my left nostril, and the other one was in my right. At this point, I ran out of magnets. Before attending the hospital, Reardon attempted to use pliers to pull them out, but they became magnetized by the magnets inside his nose. At the hospital, a team of 2 doctors applied an anesthetic spray and manually removed the magnets from Reardon's nose. Needless to say, I'm not going to play with the magnets anymore, Reardon said. So just because you're highly intelligent doesn't mean you're really smart. Oh, God. All right, this next one. It's a thing. I mean, I think y'all know all this stuff, all about all these, but it'd be a good movie list. If you're looking for movies to watch during your home imprisonment, this may be make for a good list or a good reading list. Better off if you read all these stories rather than watch the movies, because that way you get the pure story. So here it is, posted on RT.com, Russia Today, on the 1st of April. Again, not an April Fool's joke. Is it Brave New World or 1984? Here are a few dystopias we already live in. This is Helen Bialansky, an American journalist. Okay, she's the one that posted this. The post-corona future is looking grim. Economic collapse, martial law. It's not like we weren't warned. Humanity was heading south. However, there's a lot more doomsaying to explore beyond Orwell and Huxley. Who wouldn't want to live in a future described as a boot stomping on a human face forever? I don't want to live in that future. I don't want to live in that present. It's all but impossible to describe Western life in 2020 without invoking George R. Orwell, who crystallized the police state paranoia, not only the Cold War, but of its tech-enabled aftermath with 1984. Constant surveillance by an omnipresent Big Brother keeps citizens in line, while the memory hole greedily sucks down inconvenient history as fast as government scribes can rewrite it. On the opposite end of the spectrum, Aldous Huxley laid out the infantilizing future of those societies that don't fit in the Orwellian mold in Brave New World, in which the elevation of the mindless pursuit of pleasure to focus on life makes totalitarian repression almost beside the point, keeping citizens dumb and docile with drugs and sex, not to mention your fluoride. Yes, the fluoride pretty much does the dumb and docile part. You got drugs and sex on top of that, of course, but you know. These dystopian extremes exist within some of the same societies in the form of carrot and stick for those who cooperate and those who behave, misbehave, they get the stick. Yes, the carrot if you cooperate, the stick if you don't. But our curious historical moment owes just as much to some lesser-known nightmarish futures. And since we're all stuck indoors under corona quarantine imprisonment, we might as well get familiar with the ins and outs of some of these lesser-known dystopias. At the very least, it will prepare us for what might be in store post-pandemic. They've got a tweet here. Somebody posted up a meme. It says, "I don't want a carousel." A Venn diagram with four big outer circles. 1984, Fahrenheit 451, A Handmaid's Tale, Moose Girl's favorite, A Brave New World, and then on the interlocking points there, between 1984 and Fahrenheit 451 is Animal Farm, 1984 to Brave New World is Soylent Greed, Brave New World to Handmaid's Tale is Brazil, Fahrenheit 451 to Handmaid's Tale is Logan Run. Then it goes down further into Gattaca, The Matrix, Lord of the Flies, something I can't read because it's fuzzy, and then it shows in the middle where everything overlaps. You are here. You are here in the middle of all these various dystopian tales. So Logan's Run, if you don't remember Logan's Run. they say here that public sacrificed themselves on their 35th birthday, but no, it was their 30th birthday. And they did it willingly. They went, walked right into the thing, the sacrifice. There was no people over 30 in the story that were still alive, except Logan. He ran, so it's called Logan's Run. Great film. Great, great film, by the way, if you've never seen Logan's Run. I never read that book, but great film. Yeah, so good there. Soylent Green. Oh, there's no accounting for taste. Yes, 1973, Soylent Green. If you're unfamiliar with that, the world was pretty much economically destroyed. There was tons and tons of people just everywhere, and there was no food left. And they were feeding. They'd send these trucks out once a week and throw out these bars, food bars, which was called Soylent Green. And, well, I won't ruin it for you. If you don't remember. Oh, wait. They got the video right here. Soylent Green is people! Charlton Heston. Then it goes to Handmaid's Tale. Like I said, Moose Girl's favorite. And here, it's always Ladies' Night is the tagline. I don't know much about it, other than what Moose Girl has told me. But it says it's Margaret Atwood's 1985 theocratic nightmare set in the aftermath of a fanatical fringe Christian fascist takeover of the U.S., which was recently adapted by Hulu, which has predictably become a vehicle for ham-handed allusions to the presidency of Trump. Oh, boy, this sounds, I don't know. Anyway, in both versions, however, marginalized groups, LGBT, political dissidents, are rounded up, and if they're young and fertile, sent to re-education camps, where they are terrorized into becoming docile childbearers for the mysteriously barren wives of party officials. I'll let you read more on that for yourself, if you so choose. If you have a way to watch this, maybe you got the Hulu, go ahead and watch The Handmaid's Tale. Moose Girl swears by it, says it's awesome. So I believe her. She has good taste in that kind of stuff. The next one rolling up is V for Vendetta. Yeah, baby. I'm not going to say anything about V for Vendetta other than watch that film. Watch that film. Apparently it was a graphic novel, not an actual novel. But I never read the graphic novel. I've only seen the film, and I've seen it at least a dozen times. It is a great film. Hopeful. Has a hopeful ending. Which, I don't know if we're going to get to that hopeful ending. All right, the next one in the list is 12 Monkeys. And 12 Monkeys is probably closer to what's going on here now than the rest of those. Although it'd be 12 Monkeys in today's modern notion. I mean, because of the virus. As they roll in 1984, we were already living in a brave new world with the stupid cell phones and everything like that. So, anyway, these are just some of the dystopian stuff going on out there. Stories. We've been warned. We've been warned time after time after time. So many movies, so many shows, so many books written about all this. And yeah. 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 Okay. Lastly, but not leastly, on ZeroHedge.com, posted on April Fool's Day. Oh, but again, not an April Fool's joke. This is coming. This was posted just a little over a month ago. Some of it, I wouldn't say this has actually started. We've only seen people going to places and protesting peacefully. So this hasn't actually started yet. But here it is. It's only a matter of time until COVID-19 lockdowns lead to civil unrest and violent crime. This is written by Daisy Luther of the Organic Prepper blog. She says, "The United States of America is basically closed for business, leaving citizens jobless, broke, and without options. We're facing restrictions on movement the likes of which our nation has never seen. The stores that are open have never fully restocked after the panic buying of previous weeks, leading to shelves barren of things like meat, flour, toilet paper, and rice." I have personally experienced the lack of rice and flour in my local grocery store. Toilet paper, I haven't really looked for when I've been there because I don't buy it from there. And meat, I've seemed to be able to find whatever meat I wanted. I don't know. Anyway, yeah, but that may be something coming too because they're closing all the meat processing plants. Oh, wait, Trump said he was going to keep them up, force them to stay there. I don't know how you do that. It's only a matter of time before these issues combine to become the flashpoint that leads to an explosion of civil unrest and violent crime. The financial situation. Unemployment skyrocketed, and this was back then, over a month ago, with 3.3 million claims last week, and the Fed estimates that number to climb to a whopping 47 million due to the virus, not due to the virus, due to the government's reaction to the supposed virus. Many of these jobs may not come back. They won't come back. Those businesses are closing down and locking their doors and going bankrupt. Those jobs are not coming back, or many of them, after the coronavirus has run its course through the nation. Businesses, small and large, are going to be defaulting on their April rent payments, which is happening now, and many simply will not be able to catch up later. How can you catch up? You haven't had any income. So far, a lot of people in the area where I'm staying seem to be treating this break of business like a surprise staycation. Oh, it's just a vacation. Everybody's home. Have fun. Have a good time. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. It's nice to see families out walking together, playing games, and spending time with people they love. Don't you be out there walking together now. They'll get ya. Yeah, that was a month ago. They'll get ya now. But this happiness may be short-lived, despite generous government-mandated disaster pay unemployment and stimulus checks. Ooh, generous, $1,200. That money may not arrive in time for former employees, self-employed people, and gig workers to pay their personal bills. It will not. And when the money does arrive, for many folks, it isn't going to be the same amount they were earning. No, it was a one-time $1,200 thing. I know some of you are getting the expanded unemployment stuff, but a lot of you aren't. And a lot of it is like 20% of the people actually applying for the unemployment actually are getting it. So that's 80% that aren't. So most people don't have emergency funds. No, we've talked about that extensively in the past. So things will be dire. All right, it goes on talking about this. I don't have time to go on with it because I'm out of time here. But believe you me, it's coming. And it's coming fast, and it's going to hit hard, and it's going to be wide scale. And what will the government's reaction be to when people are out there protesting and looting is going on and civil unrest is happening? What is the government's reaction to anything? They go out and start killing people. They beat people down. They lock them in cages. That's what the government does. That's what's coming your way. It's not going to be a fun summer. Bear that in mind. Anyway, I'm sorry to go out on a note like that. I try to leave on a happy note, but I got my stories a little bit mixed up here today, the order of them. So I do apologize for not leaving you on something a little not so grim, not such a grim leftover. Anyway, I'll be back again next week with episode 71. Right, same bat time, same bat channel. Tomorrow you got the In a Perfect World show with Slash somebody and maybe a co-host. I don't know. Anyway, check the schedule on reallibertymedia.com for all the rest of the shows coming up throughout the week. Have a great week. I love y'all. Peace to everybody. Stay away from people. Peace.